says, bless and do not curse. That statement comes from God Himself. God is a God of blessing, not a God of cursing. If there's cursing going on, it's not from God. God's a God of blessing. And He wants to bless. He wants to bless. Jeanette gave that word, today it's time. I got an email from Barry Thompson this week. And he forwarded an email that he had got from someone else who also had a word from the Lord that it is time. And when I kind of heard that, I kind of remembered something that was going on 4 years ago when the Lord spoke to me, be prepared. Prepare. 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 And I think it's time to kick it up a notch, if it would be. We can all get busy, and I've been very busy lately, but we cannot get so busy that we neglect the Lord and what He wants to do. Joshua, when he entered in and he was doing the Lord's work and everything else, and he went on, but he didn't leave much for his children. And later on, everybody started doing what was right in their own eyes. And of course, then the whole nation of Israel went through another round. And we're not much different, really. We get excited about the Lord different times. There was a time back in the 70s when I was very excited about the Lord and what He was doing. And there was revival in the land. And I was taking inventory of my life, and I'm not quite as excited as I was then. And I'm wondering, how much am I doing that's just what's right in my own eyes and what's right for the Lord? And I just, anyway, I have a message that hopefully I can be ready. We're going to have a Feast of Tabernacles coming up soon, and the theme of the Feast of Tabernacles is Return of the Lord, but I do believe that just from looking at many things in the Scripture, that the Feast of Tabernacles is one of those feasts of the Lord that have not been fulfilled, and I believe that in my own heart that the Lord will probably return on the Feast of Tabernacles someday. I think there's things that we need to... I was talking to Reggie Kelly one day, and Reggie was saying that the hastening of the Lord... And some people think we can hasten the return of the Lord by our behavior or whatever, and I'm not so sure about that. But what did bring clear to me when Reggie said, the church is not really wanting the return of the Lord. We're not really wanting the Lord to return today. Why don't you put it off a little bit? I still got a bunch of things I want to do. But really, there's an attitude in the hastening of the Lord that we would want the Lord to come today. Do we want the Lord to show up today? Do we want Him really to come now? Are we ready? And I think for a lot of us, maybe we don't feel we're ready for the return of the Lord, so that we want to put it off. And maybe there's some truth to that, I don't know. But this word that this scripture I'm going to use today is one the Lord put on my heart 4 years ago. And so it's what I'm going to bring isn't from 4 years ago. I didn't even look at that. What the Lord put on my heart 4 years ago, but the scripture, I looked at again. Be ready. You know, this building was brought up, I think, at that time, and 4 years later, we've got a lot of things done in this building. And I'm really pleased with some of the progress we've done in this building and to keep it going. And you have to understand that it takes money to keep this thing just open. And the Lord has been so faithful to us here at Mount Zion, little flock. We're just a little flock. But the Lord is faithful. He is faithful to keep us going. When we bought this building, the Lord clearly spoke to Mount Zion, steward this building till I have need of it. Well, the word steward isn't own, it isn't mine, it's steward. So we steward this building for the Lord's sake. And the steward isn't the one that gets to call the shots. The steward is the caretaker. We're the caretakers of this building. But it belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's building. And He has plans. We're not sure we understand all those plans, but I know He has plans. And some of it may very well be connected with the word refuge. I mean, that word has come up many times. And how that would play out, I don't know. So we've been maintaining this and occupying here for 11 years. But in the midst of stewarding the building, there's also this personal command from the Lord out of Luke 12. So it says this, be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert. On the alert when he comes. On the alert. There's been a lot of words. We've had some right here. I remember Laura getting up and giving a word that the Lord is coming soon. I believe that there is, we can say He's certainly closer to coming now today than He was yesterday, but we're in a season where I believe the Lord's return is close at hand. I really believe that. And I don't think it's a time for us to kind of sit back and, well, whatever will be, will be. I think we need to take seriously and take personal steps to ensure that we know that we are ready. And a lot of this has to do with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross, then your actions and what you have to do personally, it has a lot more to do with our faith and are we in unbelief or are we believing for ourselves what the Lord has already accomplished for us. And being prepared is really about faith. It's really about our faith in the Lord. Now you have to understand this scripture has been a current verse. It isn't something, it's been current for 2,000 years or better. And it was current then and it's current now. Okay? It isn't like the scripture isn't current, but it's current for today. So the scripture is about the return of the Lord, but it's also very much about a way of life. It's very much about our way of life and how we live our life today. What's the attitude of a Christian who's waiting for the Lord's return? What's it like to be waiting for the Lord's return? And what's our attitude? We need a good attitude. So, we can take a look at a couple of these things. I just want to go through a little bit of this scripture. But the first thing I want to take a look at is to be dressed. How many of you ever had a dream that you ended up in society without any clothes on? I've had such a dream. It's a very embarrassing dream. And you're really looking quickly to find some way to hide your dress. On Revelations it says, you think you're rich, you think you got it all, don't you know you're naked? You know, we don't want to be found naked. We want to be dressed. But there's more to this word dressed than just that. So it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to his lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says Christianity is just a put on. Yep. You put on. You put on things. Just like you get up in the morning and you put stuff on, you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you think maybe, well, I've already done that. I did that as a child. You put them on every day. You put them on during the day. You remember that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that I put on. You might think it's all done, but it isn't. You need to be in that place every day. Let me just read a little bit more of that scripture there, starting in verse 11, Romans 13. Do this. And what he's referring to there is, he just told them to love their neighbor as themselves. Walk in love and love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, do this. Do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Knowing the time that it is already an hour for you to be awakened from the sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Now, John gave us a message about battling and fighting and everything. You know, when I was in Vietnam, you know, we were up in this hill. We'd been pinned down for days, and all of a sudden we had a ground attack. And the captain comes to the mortar guy. And he says, well, are you ready to fire? And they all said, he said, yes, but we can't fire because we don't have clearance. And the captain looked at him and says, you're all set. Everything is ready to go? Yes, everything's in order. And he grabbed one of those mortar rounds and you drop a mortar round in the tube and it automatically goes off. Now you have clearance. He says, keep it up. But the point is, we need armor. When the attack is on, you got to have armor. Armor of light. You know that light is an armor? You are the light of the world. Do you know that darkness cannot exist where light is? You know, you turn the light on. You know that darkness really doesn't have any substance? Darkness is just the absence of light. You can't buy a flash dark. and turn it on and everything goes dark. You just can't do that. You have to remove the light. And when the light is gone, you have darkness. But it takes, we could darken this room. It would have been great for that example. But because there's no windows in here, I could make this place pretty dark. And one little light, and you could light this whole room up enough so you could see each other. One light, armor of light, and the devil works in darkness. He works in darkness. So if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you see? You got to walk in the light. You have fellowship one with another. We need to walk in the light. But it's an armor. I want you to know that the light you have in you is not just, it actually defeats the enemy. It defeats the enemy. If you have faith that you're walking in the light, darkness cannot. It cannot come near you. The reason that we sometimes come under it, and let me tell you, I come under it. But it's my unbelief. It's unbelief that takes me down every time. I stop believing in what the Word says, and I come under this other stuff. But I'll tell you, the light is an armor. And we're children of the light. We're no longer children of darkness. Now Ephesians 5:8 says, you were all in darkness. And that's true. But the light has come. You read Isaiah, is it 55? Arise, shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is shown upon us. It's here. We are children of light. So you got armor of light. So let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing in drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife or jealousy. And then it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Another thing in battle, if you're battling somebody, you want to cut off the supply line. Because once the supply line is cut off, they can't operate too long. You take away their food, you take away all their supplies, all their provisions, and you win the battle. You win the battle just by taking away their provisions because they can't fight anymore. Make no provision for the flesh. If you provide for your flesh, you're going to stay in the battle. Whatever you've provided for your flesh will keep you in the battle. Less victory happens when you're providing for the flesh. But if you make no provision for the flesh, now, I have to give some balance here because the church tends to go into legalism if you head down this path too quickly. But there's many people in this room here. But there's one Lord. There's many people in here, but there's one Spirit. There's one head. His name is Jesus. If you listen to Him through the Holy Spirit, He will convict you of the provision. Ask Him, where am I providing? Now quit looking at everybody else. And let the Lord say to you, where am I providing for the flesh? And then deal with it. To quote a good friend of mine. Deal with it. But do not try to take what the Lord's given you and put it on somebody else. Because the very thing that someone is being provided for the flesh is not a provision for somebody else. They might even be doing something and they're not feeding their flesh. So, not everything. Because otherwise we get into legalism, and we'll put up a list, and I could make slide after slide of all the things you shouldn't do. But that's not going to cut it. You need to hear the Lord. So then, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on. Here's a bunch of other things you can just put on. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are things that are of the Lord. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you. I was really thankful we did the Lord's Prayer today. We don't do that enough. And I remember having a conversation with Steve Rude one day and deliver us from evil. How many of us pray that every day? Because the Lord will do that. He'll keep us from that. And sometimes I think we don't believe that sometimes. But here's one. It says, and forgiving each other. Now you find some wiggle room in that scripture for yourself. What wiggle room do you have for holding unforgiveness against somebody according to this scripture? Whoever has a complaint against anyone. Whoever has a complaint, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you. You have a complaint against somebody? Someone done something that you want to hold a little bit on forgiveness for? Well, this scripture pretty much says you can't do that and justify it with the Lord. If you're holding on forgiveness, be careful, because at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, and if you do not forgive, then the Lord cannot forgive. You bind the Lord up with His forgiveness. Not that He doesn't have forgiveness for us, but we can limit the forgiveness we receive by holding unforgiveness in our heart. Same way with mercy. And James, it says, the Lord will be merciless for those who have shown no mercy. For mercy triumphs over judgment. But I'll tell you what. After I finally got a hold of that verse, I like being merciful. I kind of just relish being merciful with people. And you know, it's pretty hard to hold unforgiveness and be merciful at the same time. But once you have unforgiveness in your heart, you don't want to show mercy to that person. Well, we need mercy. We need mercy. And beyond all those things, put on love. It's the perfect bond of unity. These are just things we can get dressed with. How hard is it to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? How hard is that? Is that a complicated thing for us every day to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have to go through a bunch of hoops to do that? No. By faith. And it's all by faith. If we do not walk in faith, we can't do that. But by faith we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith I say that I'm a child of God. By faith I say that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live, I now live by faith. The Scripture says that. But we need to confess who we are and what kind of person we are. Because once we get into that faith, we're ready. We're ready. Let's go on to Isaiah 61 here. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself for a garland with garland, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So here's a couple garments we really need. Salvation and righteousness. How did you get salvation? Where did that come from? I'll tell you, salvation is something that was a free gift to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the garment of salvation on? Do you really know? If push comes to shove, can you say with all your heart, I have eternal life. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Now some Christians have a hard time saying that. But I can tell you, we need to have faith that the Scripture is true, that John 3:16 is true. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. And that's just the way it is. You don't have to question that. You don't have to say, well, I wonder if I have eternal life. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have faith to believe that? Now comes righteousness. People have a little harder time with righteousness. Because somewhere along the line, we've equated righteousness with behavior. That somehow your behavior equates righteousness. So if you've got good behavior, you're probably more righteous. Bad behavior, less righteous. The truth is righteousness was not imputed to you because of your behavior. The way that the church and the way that people in the church become righteous is because of Jesus' sacrifice. It's because He was righteous and my life is in Him. My life isn't in Steve Thompson anymore. My life is in Christ. He's righteous. Now, someone who's righteous, but please, did you become righteous before you had good behavior, or did your good behavior come before you were righteous? That's the question. You were righteous before you had good behavior. Well, you might have had some other behavior or whatever, but righteousness is not equated with your behavior. But I can tell you, once you become righteous, your behavior gets better. Okay? But if, in fact, you believe that somehow that your behavior brought you to righteousness, the minute you sin, the minute you fall, the minute you do something that doesn't look righteous, then you start losing your righteousness. And that clothing starts disappearing off you. Okay? But the robe of righteousness was given as a free gift. We need to walk in that, believe it, and know that our righteousness come before the behavior. So that if my behavior changes, the righteousness can remain by faith. Now, does that mean I should get by with bad behavior? No. Doesn't mean we get by with bad behavior, but it does not mean you've lost your righteousness. It means we need to confess our sin. And God is faithful with everybody who confesses sin to bring them back to a clean slate. But the righteousness that was given through Jesus Christ on the cross was something that wasn't based on your behavior. So you become holy because of the cross. You become holy because of Jesus. You become holy because He's holy, not because I'm holy. My holiness is wrapped up in Christ and Him alone, not my behavior. But I can tell you what, once I'm holy, once I'm in Christ, once I'm listening to the Lord, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's always leading me down a good path. But be connected to Him and have faith that your clothing is in place. You have to have faith, and that faith ensures that you're well-dressed. I got to hustle up here. Keep your lamps lit. But at midnight there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom has come to meet him. Then all the virgins who had trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We know that to keep that lamp lit, you need some fuel. And they were running out of fuel. We want to make sure that we have an abundance. And the Lord wanted to make sure that you would have an abundance. Now, it seems to me that oil... And we have this banner over here, this Restore banner, olive trees, and the two olive trees are there, and the oil's coming into that lampstand, and the candles are burning. It takes oil. But oil is often related to the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, at the end of the great feast, shouts out with a loud voice, all you who are thirsty, come and drink from me, and out of you shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, who is not yet given, because Christ had not yet been ascended. And then in Ephesians 5 it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no shortage of the Holy Spirit. It isn't like there's a shortage and you got to run in quick. No, the Lord has enough for all of us to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. But are we thirsty? All who are thirsty. And somewhere along the line, I kind of feel like the church has become less and less thirsty. And we think that we can drink other things and be satisfied. But I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to keep our real lamps lit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is to have enough oil in us. Be filled, continually filled. Continually asking, continually. Derek Prince says, you know, well, I've seen that with kids. I mean, kids that don't want to eat. You ever been around, you know, the airplane thing? Open the hatch, here comes the airplane. You know, trying to get them to open up their mouth so they can take some nourishment. Well, the church, I think, is a little bit closed-lipped. And said, you know, I've had enough. but open our mouths and receive from the Lord again. And again, by faith, one of my favorite scriptures is Mark 11:24, because it was the scripture that really brought me into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody was being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I prayed, but nothing happened. Didn't think. Well, something did happen, but I quickly, you know, quickly something comes and robs it from you. So I'd been robbed of what I'd received, and a dear man gave me this scripture. Believe that you have received, and it will be granted to you. Believe that you have received, and it will be granted to you. Well, I grew up, you know, let me see it first, and then I'll believe it. You know, don't give me any of this. You know, if your dad said, we're going to go on vacation, well, I'll believe that when we see it. You know, but the scripture is different. You got to believe. So if you ask for the Holy Spirit, the only thing that will keep this door shut or you won't be able to receive it is your unbelief. That's the only thing that keeps you from receiving from the Lord is unbelief. That's why the scripture really says that unbelief is one of the worst enemies we have. Be careful that none of you enter into unbelief. Well, that was to the church. It wasn't to the unbeliever. Unbelief is still the thing that keeps us. As those waiting on the Lord, be dressed, keep your lamps lit, be like men who are waiting for their masters when He returns from the wedding feast so that they may immediately open. But this waiting on the Lord, in this story of the virgins, what happened? It said the master was delaying. The master was delaying. How many of you are good at waiting when someone's making you delay, when someone's delaying? Are you a good waiter? Oh, got one. Cheryl, wonderful. You've really done this good thing here. When you go and you order something and they say it'll be here Tuesday, Tuesday comes, and then a week later Tuesday comes, and another week later and it still isn't there. How are you doing? How are you doing when the delays hit? Do you run out? Are you running out? Just because there's a delay, do you run out? Or do you still have enough? Is your lamp still lighting? Can you still go to that person and he still sees the Lord? He still sees the Lord, even during the delay. Well, you get a chance to check it out this afternoon or whatever, because there are delays in our life all the time. And we can practice. We can practice about how well we do in the delay. Are you ready to open the door? Are you ready right now to open the door? The Lord says, I'm here. Are we in a, just a minute? Let me do a couple more things. Just a couple more things, Lord, and then I'll open up. I got a few more things I want to get ready for you. Well, I'm telling you, if you're dressed, if you have faith, you're ready. You're ready. You are ready for the Lord's return. You're ready for the Lord if you're dressed, have ready, and your lamps are lit. But it's by faith. You've got to do it by faith, not by your works, but by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Each one of us is responsible to be ready. You can't live on somebody else's faith. That's not going to cut it. In the last day, you need faith. You need a personal faith in the Lord. We can help one another. I know collectively we want to be ready. But the battle for each of us is intended to prepare us. How many of you have been in a battle lately? 2011, I'm never going to forget it. Started right there in January or
December
2010. It was kind of a preparatory thing. But these battles we're in are intended to strengthen your faith. Strengthen my faith. It's not intended to put me in depression. It's not intended to make me start doubting who I am. It's intended to strengthen my faith, which is more precious than gold. So if you've been in a battle, know this, that the Lord is just wanting to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen you. It isn't because you're a bad person. He wants to strengthen you. The test is, can we give thanks for the trial? Will you give thanks for the trial when a trial comes? Are we going to complain or are we going to give thanks? Now that's an attitude. When the trial comes, give thanks. It may sound strange, but I say give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good and He has good things for us. Just because we don't see it, but it says many, well, at least a few times, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. So we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Don't go by what you're seeing, go by what the Word says and what you believe. Because it's by believing that we're ready. It's by believing. So we let our light shine. We let our light shine. Difficult times, we are to let our light shine. And then he comes to the end. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert. What does it mean to be on the alert? What do you suppose that means? Be on the alert. What does that mean to you? Be on the alert. Watching. Ready. There's a lot of things to be on the alert for, though, right? If you're in a battle, you need to be on the alert because there's the stealer, the enemy that comes to rob, steal, and destroy. You need to be on the alert for him because he's like a roaring lion trying to devour whom he will. Be on the alert. Do you have an answer for him? Do you have the ammo that's necessary to defeat all the enemy has to give you? Can you let your light shine? That's why the Lord says, keep your lamp lit, because if your lamp is lit, the darkness cannot penetrate. Light penetrates darkness. Darkness does not penetrate light. If you keep your lamps lit, you have a good armor. Good armor. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You know, what does the devil have that you can't answer with the blood of Jesus? When the Scripture says you're on your way to the judge, agree with your adversary. Well, you know, the Lord kind of showed me something there. That the devil, a lot of times, brings the truth. And you know, if the devil starts bringing something that's true, and you haven't dealt with it, just say, thank you. I agree with you. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. Cleanse me from this unrighteousness. You know, this is a good deal, devil. Why don't you tell me a few more things? Because I have an answer. The blood of Jesus is the answer to the devil's accusation. He has nothing on a Christian. The word of my testimony. You need a good testimony. Who are you? What's your testimony? Who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm a supernatural being. I'm an extraordinary being. I am an eternal being. I never die. What's your testimony? Not loving your life unto death. And these are all weapons. But the church, we need to be on the alert. But when something arises while you're on the alert, you need to also have the ammunition to defeat the enemy. And we have those. We have that ammunition. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, as a church, that this church, Mount Zion, Lord, I pray that we would be ready. And Lord, You have given us all we need to be ready. And Lord, I just pray for revelation for each one that's been in a battle, that You never leave us nor forsake us. You always hang on. You're always there. You never forget about us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I just pray that we would, as a body, grow in our faith, keeping our eyes on You, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might grow in faith, that we might be believers in a greater way, Lord. And help us to know that You have given us clothing to be dressed. You've given us oil for our lamps to remain alit. You've helped us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would all see that we have salvation, that we are righteous in You, and that we have all that we need, and we are people who are ready because of You, Lord. You've made us ready. Help us to walk by faith and believe that we are ready. We are ready for You, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And all hear us say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are anxious for Your return. We want You to come soon, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that many in these days, Lord, would come to know You. And Lord, help us to be a witness for You, Lord, of what You've done for us, that we might share with others, that when they come wanting to know, help us to be ready to share what You have done with us. Lord, we love You, and we just want to be with You, Lord, every day, every minute of every day. And Lord, help us to continually, by faith, put on all the things that You have laid out for us through Your Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we just thank You that You have given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just want to leave you with if you feel unbelief in your life at all, you can get rid of unbelief quickly by believing. Believe again. Believe again on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Just believe Him. Believe His Word. Believe His Word. And don't doubt. Don't doubt. Because His Word is true. His Word is everlasting. Don't let unbelief sneak in and rob from you what the Lord has given you freely. Amen. God bless each one of you.